Chapter 3, in which stories are told and a theft is discovered. "We've seen goblins and a troll and a griffin," Jared told her eagerly as they arranged themselves at the foot of the hospital bed. It was such a relief to be believed. Now, if she would just explain how important the guide was, everything would be okay. "And Thimbletack," Mallory put in, picking up a cookie and taking a bite. "We've seen him, although we're not sure if he counts as a brownie or a boggart." "Right," said Jared, "but we need to ask you something important."
"Thimbletack?" Aunt Lucinda asked, patting Mallory's hand. "I haven't seen him in ages. How is he?" "The same, I expect. They're all always the same, aren't they?"
I don't know," Mallory said. Aunt Lucy reached into the drawer on her side table and brought out a worn green cloth bag embroidered with stars.
"Thimbletack loved these."
Jared took the bag and peered into it. Silvery jacks next to several stone and clay marbles glinted inside the pouch. "They're his?"
"Oh, no," she said. "They're mine. Or they were when I was young enough to play with such things. I'd just like him to have them. The poor thing, all alone in that old house. He must be so glad you've come."
Jared didn't think Thimbletack was all that glad, but he didn't say so. "Was Arthur your dad?" Simon asked.
"Yes. Yes, he was," she said with a sigh. "Have you seen his paintings in the house?"
They nodded.
"He was a wonderful artist. He used to illustrate advertisements for soda pop and women's stockings. He made paper dolls for Melvina and me. We had a whole folder of them with different dresses for each season. I wonder whatever happened to those things."
Jared shrugged. "Maybe they're in the attic."
"It doesn't matter. He's been gone for a long time now. I'm not sure I'd want to see them anyway."
"Why not?" Simon asked.
"Brings back memories. He left us, you know."
She looked down at her thin hands. They were trembling.
"He went out for a walk one day and never came back. Mother said she had known he was going to leave for a long time."
Jared was surprised. He'd never given much thought to what Uncle Arthur was like. He thought of the stern, bespectacled face in the library painting. He wanted to like his great-great-uncle, who could draw and see fairies. But if what Lucinda said was true, then he didn't like Arthur at all. "Our dad left, too," said Jared.
"I just wish I knew why."
Aunt Lucy turned her head away, but Jared thought he saw the glint of tears in her eyes. She pressed her hands together to make them stop shaking. "Maybe he had to move for his job," Simon offered, "like our dad." "Oh, come on, Simon," Jared said. "You can't really believe that load of crap." "Shut up, morons," Mallory glared at them. "Aunt Lucy, how come you're in this hospital? I mean, you're not crazy." Jared winced, sure that Aunt Lucy would be mad, but she only laughed. His anger faded.
"After Father left, Mother and I moved one town over to live with her brother. I grew up alongside my cousin Melvina. That's your grandmother. I told her about Thimbletack and about the little sprites, but I don't think she ever really believed me. Mother died when I was only 16. A year later, I moved back into the estate. I tried to use what little money there was to fix the place up. Thimbletack was still there, of course, but there were other things, too. Sometimes I saw shapes skulking around in the dark. Then one day they stopped hiding. They thought I had Father's book. They would pinch me and poke me and insist that I give it to them. But I didn't have it. Father had taken it with him. He never would have left it behind."
Jared started to speak, but his aunt was lost in her memories and didn't seem to notice.
"One night the fairies brought me a piece of fruit. Just a little thing, the size of a grape and red as a rose. They promised not to hurt me anymore. Stupid girl that I was, I took the fruit and sealed my fate."
"Was it poison?" Jared asked, thinking of Snow White and apples.
"Of a fashion," she said with a strange smile. It tasted better than any food I'd ever imagined. It tasted the way I thought flowers might. It tasted like a song you can't quite put a name to. After that, human food, normal food, was like sawdust and ashes. I couldn't make myself eat it. I would have starved.
But you didn't starve, Mallory said.
Thanks to the sprites who I played with when I was a child, they fed me and kept me safe.
Aunt Lucy smiled beatifically and stretched out one hand.
Let me introduce you. Come, my dears, come and see my niece and nephews.
There was a buzzing outside her open window, and what had seemed like floating dust in the sunlight suddenly became creatures the size of walnuts, whirring in on iridescent wings. They alighted on the old woman, tangling in her white hair and crawling up the headboard.
Aren't they, darling? Their aunt asked. My sweet little friends.
Jared knew what they were, sprites, like the ones in the woods. But that didn't make it any less eerie to watch them swarm over his aunt. Simon, however, seemed transfixed. Mallory spoke, breaking the hush that had settled over them. I still don't understand who put you here.
Oh, yes, the hospital, said Aunt Lucy. Your grandmother Malvina became convinced I wasn't well. First, she saw the bruises, and then the lack of appetite. Then something happened. I don't want to frighten you. No, that's not quite true. I do want you to be frightened. I want you to understand how important it is for you to get out of that house. See these marks?
The old woman held out one thin arm. Scars ran deep in her flesh. Simon gasped.
Late one night, the monsters came. Little green things with horrible teeth held me down, while a giant one questioned me. I struggled, and their claws scraped my arms and legs. I told them there was no book, that my father had taken it, but nothing I said made any difference. Before that night, my back was straight. Ever since, I have walked hunched over. The marks were the final straw for Malvina. She believed I was cutting myself. She couldn't understand, so she sent me here.
One of the fairies, clad only in a spiky green seed pod, flew close and dropped a piece of fruit on the blanket near Simon. Jared blinked. He had been so wrapped up in the story, he'd nearly forgotten about them. The fruit smelled of fresh grass and honey and was enclosed in a papery skin, but underneath, Jared could see the red flesh. Aunt Lucinda stared at it, and her lips began to tremble.
For you, said the little fairies in a unified whisper.
Simon picked up the fruit and held it between his fingers.
You're not going to eat it, are you?
Jared asked. Just looking made his mouth water.
Of course not, said Simon, but his eyes gleamed greedily.
Don't,
said Mallory. Simon brought the fairy fruit closer to his mouth, still turning it.
One bite, just one little taste wouldn't hurt, he said softly.
Aunt Lucinda's hand shot out and plucked the fruit from Simon's fingers. She popped it into her mouth and closed her eyes.
Hey,
said Simon indignantly, jumping up. Then he looked around, disoriented.
What just happened?
Jared looked at their great aunt. Her hands were shaking, even as she clasped them in her lap.
They mean well, she said. They just don't understand the craving. To them, it is only food.
Jared looked at the little fairies. He wasn't sure what they knew or didn't know.
But now you see why the house is too dangerous for you children. You must get your mother to understand, to leave. If they know you're there, they'll think you have the guide, and they will never leave you in peace.
But we do have the guide, Jared said. That's what we came here to ask you about. Aunt Lucy gasped.
You can't possibly.
We followed the clues in the library, Jared explained.
See, she does think we should get rid of it, Mallory said.
The library? That means...
Aunt Lucy looked at him with dawning horror.
If you have the guide, you have to get out of the house immediately. Do you understand me?
The guide's right here.
Jared unzipped his backpack and took out the towel-covered book, but when he unwrapped it, the field guide wasn't inside. They were all looking down at an old, worn copy of a cookbook, Microwave magic. Jared turned to Mallory. You stole it. He dropped the backpack and went at her with both fists.